This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to another Checkpoint Intimate. This is Archer. I'm joining you for the first time in a while on an intimate with Sav. Sav, how you doing?
Who's been on a couple of intimates lately.
I'm yeah.
Good. How
you're
are
so
you?
Intimate. You're intimate with everyone.
I am. I love to do it.
Wow. Getting around. This week, we're going to be talking about just our favorite queer characters because it's Yes Week on Joy. So we're just going to follow that trend, just talk about the best experiences we have with queer characters in games and the queer characters we love. Who's your favorite queer character?
Probably at the moment. Damien from Dream Daddy.
Oh, okay. So I haven't actually played Dream Daddy yet because I'm a terrible queer.
Oh.
Tell me about Damien.
Okay, so Damien is a Victorian era goth. He dresses all in Victorian era.
So how does he differentiate himself from like your standard neckbeard then?
Because he is gorgeous and amazing, and he has, if you like examine parts of his house, he has Naruto fan fiction, like,
oh my God,
leather bound.
See, you haven't really got much far off neckbeard.
Stop. Let me live.
Naruto fan fiction.
I mean, he wears makeup, so that's a lot less neckbeardy.
That is very true.
Yeah. And he, there's going to be some spoilers in this, but he is the
spoiler warning.
He is the trans dad in Dream Daddy.
He's the trans dad.
And I just think
the phrase trans dad just makes me, it sounds like Trans Am, like the car, for some reason in my head.
I don't know anything about cars.
Neither do I. No, that's a thing.
But
we're showing our queerness there.
Yeah, definitely.
He's the trans dad. Okay, so
the trans dad. Yeah,
is that, how's that revealed and handled? Is it handled well?
It's handled really well. Basically, you get it from a dialogue option where you're talking about like his house and how he dresses,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about how like he wouldn't actually like to live in the Victorian era because there's so many nice things about the modern era, like that he can get binders and things like that. That's how you find out he's trans.
Absolutely subtle.
Yeah, and then a developer confirmed it.
I know. I reckon you could probably make a pretty awesome whalebone binder in the Victorian era.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. but that was, it was just like, wow, this is an actual character rather mm-hmm. than just being the trans.
Yeah. So characters with actual depth is usually what we're looking for when we're looking at excellent examples of queer characters. See, I'm still a massive Mass Effect like fangirl and get all
a
of
Mass
it.
Effect? Massive fan?
I'm a massive there's a pun there somewhere. I probably need time to craft it.
That didn't have the effect I wanted.
Get out. I'm done. I'm calling the police.
Good. I need to go to prison.
Wow. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so Mass Effect. As much as I love the original trilogy, one of my favorite queer characters is probably Jarl, who I think identifies as a pansexual in the new game, Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes.
So he wasn't originally romanceable if you were playing a male character, but it got patched in pretty quickly.
I love all to patch in the gays.
Yes. Well, all the dialogue was already there. No one knows why they didn't launch with it. But he's like the most amazing, soft, cuddly ball of feelings and emotions, and is like a complete star. He's a really good example of masculinity presented in a way we don't get very often.
Yeah.
A character that is really emotionally available and can speak for himself and how he feels. He reminds me a lot of my boyfriend, and that kind of just did it for me. Oh, it was so cute.
That's so
I love
sweet.
Jarl. Love you, Jarl, you purple alien.
Aww.
Mass Effect's had queer characters for a while now, since their first game, but that's kind of focused a bit too much on the male gaze in the first one.
Yeah.
Because it was about the pretty blue lesbian aliens.
Who apparently don't actually have a gender.
No. So it's interesting that they use the English pronouns.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see it just not be addressed at all.
Look, I honestly think that might have been a bit of a retconny thing mm-hmm. for like a bit of extra representation to be like, no, we're not just doing this for the male gaze.
Well, if they if they're a race of a single gender, then it's not really a gender anyway.
Yeah.
It just is.
They just are.
Yeah. You do have different Asari presenting differently in the games as well. You have ones that do present really femininely and then ones that do present really masculinely as well. Yeah. So it's interesting to see that dichotomy exist despite not really having a dichotomy at all anyway.
Yeah. You meet Liara's dad at some point?
Ooh.
Yeah. She's the one who runs the nightclub. Is like Liara's dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
I'm fairly
sure. I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah.
I like that. Because you can flirt with her a lot.
I love to do that.
So fun.
But yeah, Mass Effect was really good for her. I was really disappointed that Garrus wasn't gay.
Right? Everyone loved Garrus.
I want some weird mouth mandible things.
Right? Everyone, like, people keep mistaking the Turians for dinosaurs, but they're actually birds.
Yeah, they're
birds. They're avian descended. I
mean, birds are dinosaurs.
Ish. Yeah. I think it's birds. I don't remember. But yeah, they're avian based. So yeah.
And they have the little pigeons that like have the Turian heads.
Oh
like,
my god.
Spikes. That's really cute.
Borderlands had some really excellent female queer characters as well that I enjoyed. Janie Springs.
That weren't just for the male gaze as well.
Exactly.
Which is really rare for lesbian characters.
Absolutely. And something we need to see more. We barely see any lesbian characters that aren't just there as straight male eye candy. And we want ones that are fleshed out and are full on excellent characters. Athena in the Borderlands series is a perfect example of an atypical lesbian character.
Yeah.
And it's excellent to see her and more characters like that.
That's partially what I really liked about the DLC in The Last of Us, where you get to basically find out that Ellie was gay and... Mm-hmm. Spoilers, sorry.
I think we're at that point where it's fine.
Yeah, and you can share a kiss with Riley, and it's definitely not a sexualized thing, which I also think is really rare.
They're
rare
quite
for
young
any,
as well. So.
Yeah, they're quite young, so it's like it's very rare to see any gay characters in games that aren't overtly sexualized for it as well. Like Zevrand.
Who?
Zevrand from Dragon Age.
Who?
Dragon Age 2.
Someone's going to murder me for this.
Zevrand, he's the elf, the pansexual
elf. Yes. Yeah. Very sexualized. Well, a lot of the characters are really sexualized in Dragon Age 2. It was a very sexually charged game for some reason.
I think he was in 1, actually. He was in 1 and 2. You can see him in 2.
Hawk is really sexy.
Which one? I always play the female
The default male.
Yeah. I always played the default female.
I don't know what it is, but that blood smear across his face just did it for me for some reason.
You're weird.
Hey, no kink shaming.
I won't. All right, fine. Fair enough. Just talking about not sexualizing.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Overwatch has some really amazing queer characters as well. In character? I don't play Overwatch. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Tracer is gay. Tracer is confirmed a lesbian.
They haven't really confirmed anyone else, but there is some definite question marks.
I mean, everybody ships McCree and Hanzo, and there's like actual like lore.
I'm very okay with that ship.
Me too. I think it's cute.
Like, yeah, cute isn't the word I'd use, but based on what I've seen on Tumblr anyway.
I definitely want Zarya to come out as a butch lesbian, because everyone's always like, yeah, we're defying expectations by having the butch woman be straight, because we have so many butch lesbians in games. I'm like, where are they? Give them to me.
Doesn't happen.
Give me.
Sorry.
Give.
Ugh. Oh, God. I just remembered.
Yeah.
Iron Bull. How have we not mentioned Iron Bull when we were talking about Dragon Age a few seconds ago?
I love Iron Bull.
Everyone loves Iron Bull. So he's, I think he's defined as pansexual as well.
Yeah, does he define himself as pansexual?
Maybe not those words, but it's the definition is kind of pretty astute.
So the Dragon Age Inquisition did take a semi-bold step for BioWare and actually made their characters have real sexualities rather than player sexualities.
Mm-hmm.
So Iron Bull was pansexual, and I think he was pansexual because I think at one point he talks about sleeping with a trans person. I think that's a thing that happens.
Oh, he does talk about that, yes.
Yeah. And of course he adores Krem and everything. But I really liked the fact that they nicely brought the BDSM community into their game.
Yes, that was great.
Without demonizing it and talking about how terrible and abusive it was, because it was really nice. And, you know, if I ever want to direct anyone towards the BDSM community, I would rather direct them towards Iron Bull than to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, definitely.
He goes over consent and safety words and, like, all of that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. It's just so nice.
It is, and something that isn't focused on at all in our medium. Yeah. But
I
it's
feel like
touched
I'm revealing
badly.
Something about myself here.
In a lot of other mediums as well.
Yeah.
So it's good to see it done quite well. Yeah. He's presented as an atypical gay character as well, because he's also quite hyper-masculine.
Yeah.
But nothing about him is it, like,
you'd think
steps
he was
into
a mask for mask if you met him at the gym.
Exactly. Nothing steps into toxic masculinity about him, though.
No.
He is, he's just a great character.
Yeah.
If you haven't played Dragon Age Inquisition, you should play it just for the experience that is Iron Bull.
Yeah.
No matter which gender you're playing for. Then again, I haven't actually seen what the cutscenes are like if it's a female character.
I think they're exactly the same.
Probably. Which is good.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what we want.
Yeah.
It's all the same, everyone. It's all the same.
It's all the same. It just, like,
when you get down to it, everyone gets sweaty.
Ew. But yeah, apart from that, I don't really think of that many gay characters in games. I like Chloe Price in Life is Strange.
Life is Strange broke me.
I really like her character, but the fact that you can retcon her being queer with Rachel Amber in the new game is putting me off the old game slightly.
Really? Why?
Because it was such a, like, intense thing that she was definitely queer with Rachel, and they had this relationship, and then they had the sad lesbians trope, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, like, really central to her character in the first one, and the fact that you can choose that in the new one, the prequel, is really sort of getting me riled up. I'm not sure that's confirmed yet.
I'd like to see how it's handled, because they could do it well.
They could. It could be a pining thing.
Because, you could also have all that tension and then the decision is just non-requirement.
Yeah.
And that would still keep the tension and keep the relevance of the relationship and the dynamic between the two characters. So I want it to be done well, but it's being handled by a new studio, not Don't Nod, so I'm hesitant as well.
Yeah, so the prequel is being handled by Don't Nod and... Oh, it does drive me nuts that in the prequel she has a different voice actor. She doesn't have Ashley Birch anymore.
Yeah, that's sad.
And that's also really annoying because it was during the time that they were having the voice actor strike.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they don't have Ashley Birch. And now her and Rachel sound exactly the same and I can't tell them apart. It's driving me nuts.
Oh, that's worrying.
Yeah.
And Rachel wasn't even voiced in the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Could have had any voice.
Could have had literally anyone. You've ruined it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't really think of many other queer characters that I really... Actually, I have one more.
I have one more,
and it was like a surprise queer moment, which is Jacob, one of the lead characters in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, is canonically bisexual, which is incredible, especially for like a massive Ubisoft title. And there's like this entire chapter where has this huge sexual tension with one of the antagonists throughout the entire thing, who is a guy. Like, he has sexual tension with a woman antagonist in it as well. But, like, the male one, it's just, like, really full on. Like, I was like, I didn't even realize he was supposed to be bisexual through most of it. I was like, this sexual tension is pretty full on for someone who isn't queer. Okay. But, yeah, it was, like, confirmed by Ubisoft that he is bi.
Oh, wow.
Which is good to see.
That is.
And, yeah, the sexual tension was amazing because it was, like, full-on daddy-son sort of dynamic mode going on.
I think Ubisoft is trying to get a bit more political now, so that wouldn't surprise me too much.
Well, they had a sneaky one in Assassin's Creed 2 where they left in that in the bio for Leonardo da Vinci that he was probably gay.
I mean, that's historically pretty confirmed.
I know, but, like, it was had to be snuck in by the developers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it wasn't approved by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
But that's all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
It's fun talking about queer characters.
I love to do that.
Oddly enough,
it's all I do.
Aptly enough, we're seeing more and more come out as time moves across. Yeah. That was an accident. I'm sorry. But it's definitely good to see. And I can't wait for even more characters to fall in love with. We have Cameron telling us about new Destiny 2 characters that are absolutely adorable. That are just queer off the side. And that's the type of thing we love to see.
Yeah.
That's
my goal.
It was fun. It was fun today. Thank you so much for joining me, Sav.
No problem. Thanks
this
for having me.
This has been another Checkpoint Intimates.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.